Blog Talk Radio.
Can you imagine a loyal employee becoming injured in a car accident? The injury requires a short or long-term disability period. The worry and concern about current health and how this will impact the future can be a very scary time in life. At this moment, you also find out your insurance company is also your employer, and it turns out you are being harassed by them due to your car collision injuries. Let's talk about you and employer disability harassment today, here on Estra's radio show. Welcome, and thank you for joining in with Talking About You with Estra, live on Block Talk Radio. This February 2nd, 2013, this is your car accident talk radio show sharing information and concerns that help you. Hi, I'm Estra, your host. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. We are coming to you live from Seattle, Washington. On this program, your challenges in dealing with insurance companies and self-insured employers coping with everyday situations from being involved in a car accident are up for discussion. This show is really about you, so dial right now, 718-766-4385. Again, that number is 718-766-4385, and participate in today's broadcast. Someone injured just like you who may be experiencing harassment by an employer is waiting to hear your story of hope and courage. Personally, firsthand, I understand your situation. I have dealt with insurance companies such as USAA, GEICO, PIMCO, Progressive, Farmers, Allstate, The Hartford, Premier, Blue Cross, UnitedHealthcare, Medicare, LifeWise Insurance Company, Social Security, and employer SNC-Lavalin Constructors, previously known as Enron. But first, our personal injury in the news this week. These are my views on current events in the news and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, I will be stopping to take a moment to comment on a section. This week's personal injury news comes from MLB.com, and it's titled, After a Car Accident, Silverio Eager for Fresh Start, and it's by Joe Fasario, and Joe is a reporter for MLB.com. He writes a blog called The Fish Pond. Follow him on Twitter at Joe Fasario. This story was not subjected to the approval of the Major League Baseball or its club. Quote, Alfredo Silverado, Silverio has come so far, he doesn't want to go back. And this is me jumping in already. Anyone who's been injured in a car accident is so thankful and so grateful, I'd say most people anyway, to return to a place of recovery. It's such a traumatic experience for most people. Okay, I'm jumping back into the article. Considering that all the 25-year-old has gone through, it's understandable that he is eager for a fresh start. A little more than a year ago, Silverio was involved in a serious auto accident in the Dominican Republic. His car clipped the side wall and flipped over, causing numerous injuries. Silverio suffered temporary memory loss and ended up undergoing Tommy John surgery to repair his right elbow. In the span of seconds, Silverio's promising baseball career nearly came to an abrupt halt. But through the support of his parents, family, and close friends, he was encouraged to fight back. I want to stop there for a moment because a lot of times we don't realize just how important it is to have someone there to support you. And it makes just the journey back a little bit easier, because it's very difficult when you're in pain and suffering and all kind of situations, including employer harassment for a disability come into play. So if you have someone there, or if you don't have any family or close friends, look for a support group. Look for help, or actually just spend some time on the internet. And there's groups out there that you can join and hear similar stories, so that you're getting some of those emotional needs filled. Otherwise, it just makes the journey so much more difficult. Okay, I'm jumping back in the article. It says, quote, "They helped me with it," Silverio said. "They were like, that happened, you'll be back soon." I have to stop already again. Being positive is such an important aspect. Most people who are injured in car accidents are very discouraged with the situation. Maybe their whole life is on hold, or perhaps they can't even see how they're going to get back to where they were. And if it's you, then being able to have someone or some support, or to talk with someone who's been through the experience, can help you get through some really cloudy days. In fact, if you haven't picked up my book, Car Accident, Personal Injury Wisdom, Knowledge and Support by Estra, I would recommend that you go out and do that, because you'll find a lot of information about car accidents, and it might be just that encouraging part that you really need, to a point that you might need on some day that you're having a difficult time getting through it. And it's available at most major bookstores. So pick up a copy. Keep it in your car, too, if you haven't been in a car accident, because it has a checklist in the back, so that if you do get in a car accident, you'll have some place to actually go back and take a look and make sure that you get the information you need. Because it can be really traumatic, the experience, and you sometimes aren't going to remember a lot of the stuff that you need. Okay, I'm going to go back into the article here. Silverio's path to professional baseball has taken a new turn, and he is now trying to hook on with the Marlins. Miami selected Silverio in the Rule 5 draft on the final day of the winter meetings in Nashville, Tennessee in December. For $50,000, the Marlins purchased the rights to the outfielder. According to stipulations for Rule 5 draft players, he must stick for 90 days on the active roster once the season begins to remain with the organization. Miami can't option him to the minor leagues for more seasoning. The Marlins can, however, place him on the disabled list to start the season if Silverio isn't ready. President of Baseball Operations Larry Beinfest said that's a likely scenario. When spring training opens for position players on February 15th, Silverio is going to have restrictions. He is not going to be full go throwing, Beinfest said. We anticipate he will be able to hit and run. There's that possibility that he will not be ready to go, and he will start the year on the disabled list, or as they say, the DL. So, I'm glad it's that disabled list, not on the down low. But that's just a little extra humor there. Okay, I'm going on. Quote, if that's the case, when Silverio is reinstated to the active roster, I would be so happy for him. He must still stay 90 days to fulfill the requirements of being a Rule 5 draft pick. Should the Marlins not feel he is part of their plans, he would be placed on waivers, and if cleared, he would then be offered back to the Dodgers. Silverio makes it clear where he hopes to end up. You go, Silverio. I want to stay here, he says. It's a great opportunity. This is the best opportunity I've had in my career to reach my goal. For a week, Silverio has been working out at the Marlins Spring Training Complex in Jupiter. He has been taking part in the team's voluntary minicamp at Roger Dean Stadium. On the backfield, Silverio is taking batting practice and doing some drills, which, while not pushing it when it comes to throwing. "I feel back to normal," the outfielder said. Yay, back to normal. I have to stop there. So many injured people. When you get back to that point, "I feel back to normal," you just don't know how good that feels until that happens to you. You don't understand, or hopefully maybe you do understand if you've been there, how it feels to feel abnormal for an extended period of time. It makes you feel like, are you yourself? And of course you're yourself. It just doesn't feel like yourself. You're yourself injured, but you don't want to be injured. You want to be well. So "I feel back to normal" says a whole lot. And I hope that you'll also, if you're injured today, will get that opportunity to feel back to normal, or that you have the opportunity to create a new normal. Because sometimes we can't always go back in time. We have to go forward. We have to start from where we are and move in the direction. And sometimes we're lucky enough to be able to go back to the old normal, but sometimes we have to create a new normal. The main thing is to never give up. Okay, I'm going back to the article. If Silverio can regain his previous playing form, the Marlins potentially have landed a five-tool player in 2011. Silverio enjoyed an outstanding season at AA Chattanooga. Showcasing speed and power, he batted .306 with 16 homers and 85 RBIs in 132 games. Silverio also collected 42 doubles and 18 triples. You know, he's a happy camper. "The year before the accident, that was the best year of my career," Silverio said. On the field, all was going well. People in the Dodgers organization were comparing Silverio to former Los Angeles outfielder Raul Mondesi. The Dodgers were planning on bringing Silverio to spring training in 2012. "I had a feeling that I was going to be in the big leagues either in September or the middle of the season," he said. But the cruel fate of the crash on January 23, 2012 changed everything. And I just want to stop there for a minute, because unfortunately that is probably the first thing, or close to the first thing, that many people in an injury, in an accident, feel, is that everything has changed. It's like an injury has occurred and you know right there you cannot do what you could do 10 minutes ago. It's changed in 10 minutes, or 1 minute actually, or in a second. It's changed. You can't do those things. So it's changed everything. But just because everything's changed doesn't mean that it can't get better. It will get better. In fact, you could take the attitude that everything has changed, but from that moment, things are going to keep changing to get better. So keep your chin up if you're injured, and hope for the best and work towards it. With the Marlins retooling their roster, I'm going back to the article, they will be providing plenty of opportunities for outfielders. Silverio just might be a fit. Let's hope he is. Silverio is just a very interesting story in that he was at a top prospect with the Dodgers, and he had the unfortunate accident, Beanfest said. To see how he's come back from that is going to be a very interesting thing, because we really love this player when he's coming up. Another thing, that's actually the end of the article, end quote. But what I wanted to say was, what was I going to say? Space Cadet here. A lot of times when people come back from an injury, or they're recovering, or they finally get to a point where they have an opportunity to achieve a goal, it's even sweeter because you know how hard you fought to get to that point. You know how difficult it's been on that journey, and to be able to taste victory over what you've been through is just something that most people, when that opportunity arrives, jump to it. So I suspect Silver Rio will make a great comeback just because of what it took to get him to where he's at today. It's amazing how one appreciates being able to do different things that you haven't been able to do for a very long time. And to have that opportunity again to be able to go forward and be able to accomplish something that now you're able to brings such satisfaction. Anyone injured in a car accident realizes how good their previous life was, albeit not perfect by any means, but being injury-free is so appreciated. The pain and suffering endured makes most people wish for past days of freedom of physical and or mental movements. So, it's nice when you have support to help you through the process. If you have someone in your life to help you get through it, remember to stay positive. Give them hope each and every day. Don't let them give up or give out. Even when faced with harassment or intimidation by employers or insurance companies, if you're there in someone's life who's been injured, help them make a speedy recovery by keeping them uplifted. Your life matters. If you've been injured, your dreams matter. Just like Silver Rio's, you can restore and move to a better place than where you are right at this minute. Congratulations, Silver Rio, and thanks for sharing your life experiences of moving from injury to recovery. He did it, and so can you. So keep trying. This article and the rest of the articles that we'll discuss today will be out on Facebook. That's estras.blogtips. Make sure you go out and visit these web links and support them. Any comments that you would like to make now or after the show can be sent to Estras Radio Show on blogtalkradio.com or Twitter at Estras Radio Show. Been in a car accident? Oh, now what? What can I expect? How will I be treated? How can I have a chance to make the best decisions on my behalf? How am I going to figure that out? How am I going to know? Well, a good place to start is Esther's latest book, Car Accident, Personal Injury Wisdom, Knowledge, and Support. Would you be ready today if you were in a car accident? Order it now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or eBay. Being unprepared is no fun. You deserve to know what insurance companies and self-insured employers prefer to keep a secret. Listeners, thank you for being a part of Estra's radio show on Blog Talk Radio today. Now for my commentary on you and employer disability harassment. Why would insurance companies and employers be excluded from the laws of harassment? Why would it be okay to intimidate group disability insurance policy employees while no other citizens would ever be subjected to this behavior? And why would officers of the law ignore requests for help by the injured? Who has given them a pass on bullying behavior that impacts negatively on injured employees. Should employers have these rights just because they are required to pay out money on a disability claim? How is this fair or just? What is the traumatic effect on people who are already injured and most times at their weakest moments? How many cave in to drop their claims because they buckle under the weight of pain, suffering, and now loss of income they thought would be available if tragedy strikes? Yes, currently employers withholding disability income from an employee have few or little consequences, thus makes it an attractive alternative to paying out claims. By limiting the amount of reimbursement for such malicious behavior, Congress has unfairly targeted the injured for mistreatment, in my opinion. The poor have gotten poorer, the middle class drops to poor, and the wealthy fight back like crazy. Why should we have to fight for the right to be treated with respect and dignity through this process? Should the laws of the land protect us? They apply with individual insurance policies. Why would employer group insurance policies be excluded? Why would ERISA, which is the legislation created by Congress, give them more rights and privileges than those injured whom supposedly these laws were initially created to protect? It is time for you to ask your congressional representatives this question. Ask them where they stand on this issue, and would they vote for ERISA reform to make it fair for injured or sick employees? Initially, in the claim process, a stage is set for injured to feel safe and secure for working on their injuries. Most bend over backwards to provide the answers requested by insurance companies or employers. Many are surprised, some sooner, others later, when receiving a letter that their benefits have been stopped, or even worse, expect their regular benefit check and it doesn't show up when expected. Next, add the ploy of an overpayment scare tactic, which many times intimidate employees into relinquishing their rights and benefits. This might compound the feelings of loss and despair for too many individuals. This is why you were paying premiums each pay period. Are you expecting a safety net in case of trouble? Now you have to hire an attorney and fight for 2 to 10 years for benefits. This becomes a great endurance of suffering and loss for employees injured in a car accident. Compensation to injured should not be dropped at the discretion of employers, since they have a vested interest in maintaining the profitability of their bottom line. Isn't this a conflict of interest? Is it this desire for profitability that engages many in disability harassment against employees? If so, should there be something in place to discourage this type of practice instead of using it with vigor? How about making a requirement that all profits they make in those 2 to 10 years are prorated to their insurance? Would this change their behavior that is typically industry-wide? Imagine the amount of suffering it would reduce. How many injured could recover sooner and get on with their lives? How many of their family members would not be overly burdened? How many relationships could be saved because of less stress? The list is endless. So next time you write or talk with your Congress representative, ask them to reform ERISA. Make it the same as individual disability insurance policies. With these policies, harassment and intimidation practices have consequences. The injured can act upon them to curb their behavior, which inflict pain and suffering in an effort to eliminate paying out disability benefits to the injured or sick people. Listeners, here's a question to think about today. How can you bring awareness to harassment and intimidation experiences by people injured in a car accident and filing for long-term disability. Email your comments to Estra's Radio Show at blogtalkradio.com. Let's talk about you. Our lines are open. Call 718-766-4385. Again, that phone number is 718-766-4385. A listener right now needs to hear your story. You are listening to Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Now for our first article. Again, comments that we're going to be talking about are my opinions and have no association with the writers of the articles. From time to time, as I typically do, I'll be stopping and commenting on some of the sections. This article comes from eHow.com, and it's titled Harassment Laws in New York State, and it's by Kimberly Best. She's an eHow contributor. And harassment, quote, harassment is broadly defined in New York statutes. In New York, harassment is a crime, and the maximum penalty is imprisonment up to 4 years. Each of the four types of harassment in New York has an intent element where the defendant must intend to harass, annoy, or alarm the victim. For the more severe forms of harassment, the victim must have reasonably become apprehensive. And to me, right from the start, this is me interjecting here, from the start, that actually is what you see with employer disability harassment. From my point of view. So let's take a look at each one of these sections. It says, number one, separations of degree. In the more severe form of harassment, when a victim has reason to be apprehensive, perpetrators could do harm, or perpetrators can do hard time, some as long as 4 years, if the crime includes things like bias or repeated offenses. Many harassment cases, of course, fall short of that severity. Accordingly, the New York Penal Code defines 4 degrees of harassment to cover graduated levels of seriousness. And I always want to stop right there because something immediately caught my eyes, was where it said, when a victim has reasons to be apprehensive, perpetrators could do hard time. From my perspective, many employers who harass the disabled in order to prevent a payout of a disability claim do this. Because most of the time, from my perspective, they actually do cause an apprehensive nature to become what the injured are subjected to. Many become concerned about leaving their homes. Many become concerned about what happens to them in public places. But anyway, I guess I'll wait till we get down here to talk about some of those things. But I just wanted to say that very, very well rings true from my perspective. And I'll read it again. It says, when a victim has reason to be apprehensive, and if you talk to anyone who's actually been subjected to employer disability harassment, I personally believe you'll find that component there. Okay, so I'll go on. Second degree of harassment. When someone applies physical force to another person, follows that person around in public places, or engages in conduct intended to alarm or seriously annoy the person, this constitutes second-degree harassment. As in all harassment cases, the defendant must have the intent to harass, annoy, or alarm the person, and the course of conduct can have no legitimate purpose. Second-degree harassment is a violation of the maximum punishment and is 15 days in jail. Now, I want to stop and go back to some of this. It says, when someone applies physical force to another person, and I want to also mention the psychological physical force, when you have a number of harassers surrounding you, it's like your actual personal space is not only encroached, but they are applying a psychological intimidation to wound you. And to me, that's really a clear-cut case of harassment. I'm going to read the second part of this. Follows that person around in public places. And I think that's very important because many times disability harassment, they will start before you even hardly get out your door. And they'll follow you to your wherever your car. You can see them walking up and down your street. They're definitely, anytime they get a chance to, they'll sit next to you in a movie theater. I mean, it's endless. They'll sit next to you in a restaurant. They'll go with you to the bathroom. I mean, what does that really say? If that's not harassment, I don't know what is. Okay, I'm going to go back and read a little bit of this. Let's see here. Engages in conduct intended to alarm or seriously annoy the person. And I think that's 100% disability harassment. From my perspective, that is the goal. Intended alarm. If they keep you in a hypersensitive mode, that's that fight, flight, reflex. Makes your body a lot more difficult to heal if it's injured. It keeps you off kilter of the things that you're trying to address. It keeps you confused. It causes chaos. And that's, in my opinion, the goal that they're trying to do with that. So, and seriously, annoy is just an understatement. And that's what comes in a lot of my tweets out there at Esther's Blog Tips. You'll see where I say focus, focus, focus. And the reason why I continue to say focus is if they can distract you and annoy you and intimidate you, then you're following and doing things that they want you to do instead of doing the things you need to do to get better and to move on with your life, wherever that might take you. Okay, let me see what else is this. I'm still in the second degree harassment section. It says, the defendant must have the intent to harass, annoy, or alarm the person, and the course of conduct can have no legitimate purpose. Now, this is the part that gets me because it always seems like they're throwing in a clause to help companies out. No legitimate purpose. What is the legitimacy to intimidate and harass and victimize the disabled 24/7? That's not legitimate, in my opinion. There's no legitimacy in actually intimidating someone until they give up their disability claim. That's not legitimate to me. If they're looking for documentation, most times, I mean 99.9% of the time, that information has already been documented. Their goal is to not pay out that claim and to do whatever's necessary to do that. If that means aggravating that disabled person, making them furious to react so that they can get something on them, or creating problems or trying to set up stages that could force that disabled person to react in a way that they could throw something at them. Those are not things that I believe are legitimate. Okay? I think it's cruelty. I think it's mean. I think it's malicious. And I think these people who do this, or companies, or insurance companies who show these type of bullying behaviors, need to be held accountable for it. Okay, I'm going to go down to the next section. It says first-degree harassment. Quote, harassment in the first degree, a Class B misdemeanor, occurs when the defendant's conduct results in a victim being placed in a reasonable fear or physical injury. The maximum penalty is 3 months incarceration and a year's probation. For example, what could this be? You could be driving down the road and you could have several of them in cars surrounding you. And let's say that you get lost temporarily, and you can see that they're hoping that you're lost and that they'll have a chance to actually get you by yourself. There's a problem with that because you're going to have reasonable fear of physical injury because you don't know what these people might do. Many injured people have faced or have had, in my opinion, a reasonable fear of physical injury. And that's why they do such strong intimidation. They make people, in my opinion, fear so much that they relinquish their rights and benefits in order to get relief of harassment and intimidation. All right. And then it has second degree aggravated harassment, which is different than the previous one. Aggravated harassment in the second degree, a Class A misdemeanor, can occur in several ways. Someone who communicates or attempts to communicate with another person with the intention of causing alarm or annoyances faces a charge of second degree aggravated harassment. It may also be charged if the defendant applies physical force because of a person's race, color, national origin, gender, religion, age, disability, or sexual orientation. In addition, second-degree aggravated harassment occurs whenever a defendant is convicted of first-degree harassment for the second time in a 10-year period. A conviction can mean up to a year's incarceration or 3 years probation. And I want to, and that's the end of that section. But I want to say I am so happy that New York, and I hope other states will also do something about the harassment and intimidation. An example for this one would be like if you were constantly receiving emails or Twitter messages stating derogatory things and trying to egg you on to do different things that they want you to do. And intimidate or humiliate or any of those things. And this happens. Harassers do that. But you don't have to follow their actions and you don't have to do what they want you to do. You have a choice to make. You can either be harassed to the point of despair, or you can choose to focus on yourself, document what they're doing by video, by picture, anything they send you, anything they leave at your home, all of those things you keep. And when asked about harassment, tell people, say, I'm being harassed because of my disability claim against my employer. Tell people. If you're silent, it's not going to stop them. They're just going to say, oh, you're going to take it. So stand up for your rights and say, no, I deserve respect and I deserve dignity and I deserve my benefits. Okay, I'm going to go to the next one, which is first-degree aggravated harassment. New York saves its stiffest sanctions for first-degree aggravated harassment, a Class E felony with a maximum penalty of 4 years imprisonment, defined as intentionally setting out to annoy, threaten, or alarm someone because of race, color, national origin, gender, religion, disability, sexual orientation, age. The charge also needs the intent to commit one of the following acts: damage religious property, swastikas on real property without the owner's permission, set a cross on fire in public, or place a noose on the real property without the owner's permission. The first-degree aggravated harassment also occurs when a defendant is convicted twice in a 10-year period for second-degree aggravated harassment. Wow. That's sad when people take it to that level. I'm sure a lot of people have suffered immensely through this level of aggravated harassment. I don't have an example for that. If you have an example, please send it to me. I'd like to have listeners know. It's Esther's radio show at Block Talk Radio. All right, the next one they have is stalking. And it says, third-degree stalking occurs when a person intends to harass, annoy, or alarm someone and acts in ways likely to cause the victim to fear physical injury, sexual assault, kidnapping, or death, either personally or to a family member. This is a Class A misdemeanor, which may bring up to a year's imprisonment and 3 years probation. Now, in my opinion, stalking is something that employer disability harassment is known for. I think that's they eat and sleep stalking. They attempt to stalk you in ways you can't imagine until it's happened to you. You would think that they would find other ways to spend their money, but evidently they found that it's beneficial to them to stalk the disabled constantly. I think most of it is because, at least in my opinion, is that if most people don't want anyone to know everything about them. That's just irritating. You want to know everything about you. But if somebody's walking around with everything you do, they go everywhere you go, they see everything that you do, they feel like they can necessarily stop your life and put you in this little jar. And it's a glass jar, so they can see all around you and encircle you and harass you. And there's something wrong with that picture, first of all. But that's what they do. My suggestion is to do what you will do and let them watch. And don't be intimidated. That's your life. You own it. You do what you need to do to get well, to feel better, to socialize. Being disabled doesn't mean that you're a prisoner, and don't let harassment and intimidation by anyone stop you. This is your life. You only have one life to live. Just one, just yours. And they should not have the right to harass and to intimidate you at the levels of what this article talks about. And I think it's really fantastic that New York State has listed it out this way. Should anyone have the right to do this to another individual? No, they should not. Should Congress allow this in the ERISA for companies because they pay out disability claims? In my opinion, no, this is wrong. And I hope that if you feel the same way, that you will talk to your Congress representatives and say, please help us change ERISA. We had no idea this was going on, but now that we do, we want it to change before something happens to us and we have to live through this. So, that's our first article, and thank you, New York State. It's one of the best ones I found as far as defining harassment in a way that could be related to individuals who have been injured in a car accident and have filed a disability claim with an employer and are now being harassed because of it. Esther's radio show provides hope, encouragement, and information to those dealing with insurance and self-insured employer disability harassment and intimidation tactics in an effort to eliminate disability claims. Many individuals injured in car accidents are attempting to navigate their way through many processes that lay traps for them from the very start, especially if serious injury or becomes chronic in nature. Come Talk, Come Listen, where you can just be yourself. Every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. Pacific Standard Time with Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. You are back with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Our next article actually comes from Disability Lawyer New York. I guess today is our articles are coming from New York. It's kind of nice to have them back to back. And this title of this article is Aggressive Long-Term Disability Claims When It Is Actually Harassment. Okay. And I think it has like three actual points here. I did find to actually go out to this website to be very interesting. So it's www.disabilitylawyerny.com. So you might want to go out and take a look at the information that's out there. Okay. Quote, long-term disability insurance companies differ with respect to pressure tactics they employ against disabled claimants seeking benefits under their policies. Sometimes insurance companies go too far, but just how far is too far? And I want to stop for just a moment and say thank you for identifying this, because this is very important, and I'm sure many injured, disabled people have wondered this question. Number one, interference with your relationship with your physician. A long-term disability insurance carrier that bombards your physician with constant calls, faxes, and letters is crossing the line between simple information gathering and frustrating your connection with treating physicians. Okay, I need to stop there for a moment. Have you ever gone in to see your doctor for an appointment and harassers are there before you and they're after you too? And in fact, you see them going in to see your physician after your appointment? Did you have to hire an attorney in hopes to actually getting them to stop harassing your physician? So many different things people have tried to stop this, and I don't know why there aren't laws and law enforcement can't do something to stop this. To me, this is an example of going too far. So if this has happened to you, do not feel that it's uncommon. From my perspective, it's a very common situation. Okay, I'm going to go to number two back into the article. It says, constant calls to you to check in on your progress. Most long-term disabilities policies do not contain provisions that require you to respond to daily or weekly telephone inquiries from a carrier. Even though a disabled insured has already provided documentary proof of disability, an insured often feels obliged to speak to insurer or risk losing her benefits. Most communication and proof of loss requirements are measured by a reasonableness standard. If the claim person continues to call and harass you, he or she is not being reasonable. And that's number two. And I think that's very good to know, because a lot of times the injured doesn't know what the boundaries are. It's easy to be taken advantage of when you don't know what the boundaries, where that line is drawn. And many people are not necessarily comfortable in protecting themselves because they don't know if they're in the right place. Typically, from my point of view, if I feel that somebody is crossing the line over into my space, it's time to let them know. You don't necessarily have to be rude about it, but you don't have to be taken advantage of either. Okay, number three, the last one here, I believe. I'll go down and see. But it says, demands for records and documentation that far exceed the scope of your long-term disability claims. Requests by long-term disability carriers for income tax returns, psychotherapy records, names and addresses of coworkers and or your employees are unusually an indication of an overreaching by a carrier. Personally, my opinion is that most of the time when they're seeking out additional information, they're trying to find some way to deny your claim. And I think it's really fascinating that a lot of them will actually even have you go and apply for Social Security disability in hopes that Social Security will deny you and give them a possible out in denying your claim too, which to me is very problematic. So there's a lot of games afoot, as they say, so kind of stay tuned to what's going on, and if you don't have answers to your questions, make sure that you seek to find somebody to help you. So let's see what he says here. It says, so what can you do about this short of jeopardizing your benefits claim? First, read your policy on long-term disability plan. Your rights and obligations are spelled out. I have to stop there. Remember that who wrote the policy? Your insurance company or your employer. They're the ones who wrote the plan or the policy, and usually what? They have their benefits protected, and whose are not typically well protected? The employees or the insurers. Okay, I'm going to go on. Your rights and obligations are spelled out. I have to say this too. From my perspective, many of these things set the employees up to fail. They're not placed in ways that help to make sure that this is done in a fair and honest way with integrity and respect. So when you're looking at the rights, realize that this is not written in your best of interest. It's written in their best of interest. Okay, I'm going to go back here. The long-term disability carrier's right and obligations are spelled out. If the carrier is demanding things outside the scope of your policy wording, tell them to stop. If things get out of hand, call an experienced long-term disability carrier attorney. And that's the end of that. The only thing I'll just comment on that, you have to make sure that the people that you're working with are not companies or attorneys who typically work with the insurance carrier or your employer. You want someone who really is interested in the injured, that's the main focus, and that's who they work with. Because typically you want someone who is really honestly going to look out for your best interest, be honest with you and tell you where you stand and what they can and cannot do. There's nothing worse than getting to in the middle or near the end of going through this entire process to feel that what you've been told isn't exactly how things are working out. So make sure that whoever you decide to deal with, you have a clear idea of the expectations. Listeners, thank you so much for being a part of today's show. Employer disability harassment is real. Don't be ashamed if you find yourself in this situation. A car accident can happen to anyone, and these circumstances are no fault of your own. Use your inner strength and courage to focus on you. Stand in the face of employer disability harassment. Tell others about it. Ask your congressional representatives to vote for ERISA reform and reject harassment and intimidation of the injured. Demoralizing you is the key. Don't fall for it. Choose to stand. Can you believe it? That's it for our show today. I've enjoyed being with you. Meet back here next Saturday so we can continue this conversation. Remember to like Estra's blog tips on Facebook while looking at today's links. We want to extend a special thank you to Fabian Claudel, InternetArchives.org, Force M, Santana, The Song He, Malaguena, La Reina de Saba, Dolanes, Melody, Cannon, R.T. Winstrom, Carella, Glenn Miller, Richard Kleiderman, Frank Mills, Al Hertz, James Edwards, Cora Kea, Marcus Miller, and David Reeves. And the articles which made our time today more interesting. Make sure to visit their websites, and their links are out again on Facebook at Estra's Blog Tips. Tune in every Saturday morning at 11 a.m. with Talking About You with Estra on Blog Talk Radio. Come talk, come listen. where you can just be yourself. Have a great weekend. It's up to you. The information contained on Talking About You with Estra is not all-inclusive in assisting individuals in discerning information related to a car accident. Individuals seeking specifics on their case should seek professional assistance. The First Amendment of Free Speech has allowed Estra's radio show to state her opinion in addition to her guests and callers, which reflect life experiences. Talking About You with Estra is in no way liable for the misuse of the material. For more information, contact Sunlight Publishing, LLC, P.O. Box 69082, Seattle, Washington 98168, or email sunlight.publishing@gmail.com. Thank you.